This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.
Coaxial.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with another Coaxial. It's me, Christian Corley, and this gentleman, Gareth Cavanagh. And we're going to be talking about... we're going to be talking about Television Centre and a very particular part of Television Centre, the legendary home of the BBC until about 10 years ago. Is that right?
No, 5 years ago.
5 years ago, right.
Because I went on one of the last guided tours before they closed. Oh, it was a thrill, a real thrill.
So did you get to see the whole place? Or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you go on the guided tour, and then we went off tour. And they panicked, and our tour guides were Tess Daly's PA, who was on strictly 3 days a week at Elstree, and then filling in on the tours the other 2 days, and the actor who played Dr. Beverly Marshall in Neighbours, which was so we had a really we had a stellar set of guides.
Well, there was two Beverly Marshalls in Neighbours, wasn't there? So which was she, the dark head or the red head?
This is the dark haired Beverly Marshall.
Right.
The original, you might say. Yeah, it was I didn't recognise her, but our Sarah recognised it. It said, "Oh my god, that's Dr. Beverly Marshall off Neighbours." You know.
I went on a tour once when I was on holiday, in Portugal. So it's very unlikely that it was who I felt that it was. I was there with my family, my wife and my parents, and we got onto this bus. And the tour guide started talking, and immediately I thought, my God, it's Rosa Klebb from Russia with Love.
Ah, interesting.
Now, it wasn't, because she was Portuguese. I think Lotlenia was not Portuguese. She was Austrian, apparently, and she was probably dead by then as well. So it wasn't Rosa Klebb, but I was slightly disappointed by that. I do beg your pardon. You had a genuine star taking you around.
We had star quality, and it was an amazing tour. I mean, it was kind of a bit cobbled together by then, and it was a bit old. So, for instance, they had the Quattro from Ashes to Ashes out there on the forecourt, and you know, so that was a couple of years old by then. And they had they had some relics. So they had an oud mask, and they had one Strictly trophies, and they had one of Dolly Cotton's pinnies. For a lawn in a glass case, you know, proper artifact. But it was a really good tour, and you got a sense of how wonderful that building, you know, was. And even though it was being emptied out, and you could see it was depopulated, and you know, we didn't get to go to the BBC bar or anything like that. Although I got a sense the BBC bar was like a sort of, you know, a smoothie bar or a juice bar by then. I don't think the telly people drink like they used to. But yeah, it was an amazing place. Did you ever go around BBC Television Centre?
Sadly, no, I didn't. I didn't get the chance. It was something that was on my list of things to do, but that's crossed off with red fail now.
But to kids like us from the north, you know, watching things like The Swap Shop Television or Blue Peter, Television Centre was like this fabled Xanadu, you know, this marvellous thing where all the telly came from.
Magic of telly.
In magic and greatness. And of course, this was sort of pre-Savile and things like that. I mean, one of the things on the tour, which was quite creepy, actually, we went round, we were in the basement, and this woman said, Dr. Beverly Marshall, I should say, said, and this is the green room from Top of the Pops. And we were like, oh, and it wasn't a particularly exciting room. It was just like a sort of room. But then you think about all the horrible things that must have gone on in there. And you think,
a bit grim.
You know, it was a bit grim and a bit creepy. She did tell a story about Prince. She said that Prince had this phobia of lifts and refused to use stairs. So he had to be carried up the stairs and carried down the stairs by someone. which makes Prince like almost like Sill. So it's...
with his marshmallow.
Yeah, I could see him there. And he is quite tiny, isn't he? So I could see him, you know, sort of sat there like a little slug prince, you know, eating his marsh minnows. It feels right. Anyway, so Television Centre, I think, is a special and important place. It's there's magic there. And I always ask whenever I work with some older writers or producers, in whatever capacity, I always ask them about their working life there. And you hear some fascinating stories. I was hearing one today recently, which explained about, you know, how they all, a lot of them had drink problems there, but they managed to function. And he's talking about I won't tell you who told me the story, but I won't tell you about, but we'll call it, there was this particular woman who was a very well thought of drama producer. And he said, oh, genius, marvellous. He said, but you never had a meeting with her after 11 o'clock in the morning. I said, why was that? He said, well, he was a vicious drunk. I said, no. He said, yeah. So she would come in early at 8 o'clock. She'd get all her work done by 10:30 or 11, and then she'd go to the bar.
Bloody hell.
And I said, well, how did she function? He said, oh, it was ever so easy. He said, she had immaculate taste. She knew she had immaculate taste. She was able to pick a book, give it to a writer, tell her to adapt it. Then she would assign a director and you'd just sort of keep an eye and read the odd draft here and there. Then it would go into studio, said she'd turn up in the afternoon, half cut, give some interesting notes on what she'd seen, then go back to the pub. And that was it. His career in a nutshell.
Blimey. Right, I'm going to I'm just going to stop the call and start again, okay, because you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Is that better?
Yeah, it's sounding a bit better, yes. Okay. All right, so let's carry back on. So so when you said you were on the tour, you said you went off somewhere.
Oh, yeah. We made a break down this corridor, and then we made a break for the lifts. And so I said, I want to see the sixth floor, the fabled sixth floor that Kenny Everett used to go on about, where it was all like marble and gold. and servants and flunkies, and we got to the lift, and we got to the wrong floor. We did, you know, and so we wandered around a bit, and then went, oh, we better go back. So we went down and loitered by this sort of glass case where they had the original BBC Two sort of logo, you know, the spinning thing.
All right, yeah.
And it was lovely. And then Dr. Beverly Marshall found us and bollocked us for vanishing. and that was it. Tour over. But yeah, we did go on the run. It was exciting. And it was so empty by then.
Yeah.
You know, no one cared. I said to Missy, I said, if anyone stops us, just say we're here with some important data for the weather.
Well, I mean, it must have been quite an easy place to get lost in. I've read stories about the place, and it does seem a lot of people.
Well, we walked around all these round
lost.
Corridors,
yeah.
And it is weird. It is weird because this idea. I mean, they took us in the scenery docks, and the logic of how it designed was fantastic. Where you had the sort of donuts with all of the offices, and then you had a walkway round. So the idea was you could get to any of the interconnecting. Studios, and you could have this sort of inner road where they could move any sort of studio stuff round, and the scenery dock was pretty amazing where they build and load things. And we looked in one of the studios. I think we looked in TC4, which is where they did Parkinson and Fawlty Towers, apparently. So that was a mild thrill. It was an amazing place and an amazing tour and an amazing experience. And it's always stuck with me. And I'd always wanted to do a piece sort of set in and around Television Centre, and we were just looking for the hook, and the hook then finally arrived with Room 5064.
Now, what happened in Room 5064?
Well, Room 5064, how the BBC worked is the fifth floor was the drama department, and it's not where Doctor Who was. Doctor Who was not considered important enough to be on the fifth floor. There was like a pecking order. So plays and serials were there. Although, interestingly, everyone at the BBC calls it serials. And I said this to Philip Hinchcliffe. I said, your department was series and serials, wasn't it? Yes. I said, but not serials. He goes, no. I said, so why on earth did everyone call it series and serials? I said, you wouldn't say I'm working on a new serial. And he says, no, you're right. I wouldn't say I was on a new serial. And yet, when we talk about departments, it was series and serials. And we decided it must have been someone who was unhappy at being head of series and serials and made it sound grander by saying serials. But anyway, the core of the drama department, so Play for Today and all the prestigious stuff, was done on the fifth floor. And all of them had a number. Room 5064 was the office that had Innes Lloyd in it. By the late 80s, it was used by Innes Lloyd and Ken Trodd. Two very different personalities. Now, Innes tended to do a lot of the classic drama and worked exclusively with Alan Bennett. So Alan Bennett was always in and out, all the time. Ken, on the other hand, tended to work almost exclusively with Dennis Potter. And I remember thinking, oh, that's interesting. So I said, I said, Dennis and Alan, I said, did they get on? They went, oh, no, hated each other. Mm. I said, oh, how come? They said, well, Dennis thought that Alan had nothing to say in his writing of any relevance. It was all about doilies and tea and old ladies. And Alan thought that Dennis was just a walking sexual hang-up. So the two of them would just sort of snipe at each other while they were waiting to see Innes and Kem. And there was a secretary in the middle, because that's how you went into the office. And there were two secretaries, but we've made it one in the play, 5064. In the middle, and there was a waiting area, and then you had a little sort of anti-office to the right, which was Innes's, and a little anti-office to the left, which was Ken's, which Ken occasionally slept in and lived in, like the Wombles. So it felt rich that only the BBC, at that very turbulent time in the late 80s, would put four such extraordinary, very different people together in a cage. And that's where Room 5064 was born, really, as an idea.
Okay, it's an idea, and it's now a production that's underway at the moment.
It's a script. It's a script we've had in development for nearly 4 years now.
Right.
The writer Adrian Rigglesford. What happened was I met Adrian at the BFI about another project, and Adrian, great fun, very witty, very erudite, and he knew Innes in the late 80s. He's interviewed him a couple of times, and it was as he was trying to develop as a TV writer, he would go in and Innes would spend time with him, and so he saw a lot of this going on, and we were talking about Innes Lloyd. I can't remember how Innes came up. We were talking about, I think, Doctor Who producers. It was probably about the time the JNT book came out. So we talked about Innes. And I said, well, you know, I said, poor old Innes now seems to become almost a sort of Bertie Wooster-style caricature. I said, but he was obviously a very fine producer. Oh, very fine producer. So that's when he told, and then he said about Alan Bennett. And from this story, I said, you know, we really should write this. I think there's the makings of a fascinating piece here. So Adrian worked on the first draft of the script, which we then did a reading of in, late 2015 in Manchester. And what we've done two or three readings of it. So you get actors together in a room we invite a few people along and we just see how it sounds. So we did one of those in September 2015. Then we did another one in January 2016 in London. And Graham Harper came to that. And Graham said, I'd like to direct this, Gov. And we went, oh, well, that'd be smashing. But then as happens with these things, time rolled on and people's careers moved on and Graham got busy, so Graham dropped out. But the idea kept going. Back in 2016 as well, we also had a tour of Television Centre again while they were redeveloping it. And that was quite sad seeing how they were ripping stuff out. We saw the actual room 5064, which was by then just almost like a cave, because they'd stripped all the stripped it back to the concrete mm-hmm. on all the interiors. But we did go on the roof, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and there was this magic and power that still emanated from the building. You know, you leaned over the balcony where all of the, on the sixth floor, so I did make it to the sixth floor in the end, where Grade, and you could imagine Grade just flicking his cigar ash over the edge on the plebs below. It it had a magic and an energy. So we've kept going with it, and now, 18 months later, we're doing another read-through of it in Manchester this week with on draft 5 of the script. So I think that this is the draft we're going to go with. It's going to be pretty much there or thereabouts. So we're doing a read-through on the 18th with Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer, playing Mr. BBC, who's a character we've had in it now for a couple of drafts. Who is like like a ragtime entertainer who's the spirit of the BBC, who haunts a television set in the corner. So it's a bit like a sort of musical Rent-A-Ghost. It's quite like it. We must do a coax on Rent-A-Ghost, by the way.
Definitely.
It's essential. So, yeah, so we're doing that. And then we'll know what we've got. And then hopefully we can then move it forward as a proper production. We can attract a director. And Room 5064, the story of an ordinary little room in an extraordinary place, will find a proper audience. That's the hope.
Okay.
And if not, I'll have something to comfort me in my old age, that we could have been a contender. But no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. It's going to be good.
Okay. So, I mean, that approach, so what you're doing, it's not an actual production at the moment, but you're doing... Are they public script readings or are they invite only? Or
No, they're public. Anyone can come. It's £3 on the door. There's tickets in advance. But you can just turn up on the night and come and see a really good script. It's a bit like we did with your script, your comedy script a few years back.
Oh, goodness me. The Riding Officer.
The Riding Officer. That's a terrific script that was.
Oh, it's better now.
It was a terrific script at its time. A real, Poldark meets Blackadder, I thought.
Yes.
Really good.
Yes.
Yeah, really good. So it's the same kind of approach.
Right.
You get actors together. You give the script you get someone reading the words and dramatising it and giving it some life. You get an audience for a reaction and you see what you've got. And it's exactly the same as that. And you should finish The Riding Officer. It's a bloody good play.
I have finished The Riding Officer.
Have you?
I have, yes. I've.
Do you keep sending it off to people?
I do keep sending it off to people. It is good now. He's now trapped in the job.
Oh, good.
There's been some character development, so he's no longer the son of a smuggler. He is, however, trapped in the job, because the only way you leave the Riding Officer is by being shot. So he's now trapped in the job, and he is siphoning off. He's skimming, basically, for his retirement.
Well, he has to, doesn't he? Although, how does he retire?
Well, he escapes. Yeah. That's why he's skimming. So he's got to escape. So he's got to be prepared.
So he's saving up all those rare French lithographs.
Oh, that sort of stuff, yep.
and knock-off French perfume and all good stuff.
Oh,
it's a great script. It's a really good script. Keep going with that.
Thank you. Very kind of you. So 5064. So 18th of July.
Yes, 18th of July in Manchester. Come and see us if you're around.
And we'll stick a link to the ticket purchasing.
Yes, marvellous.
In the show,
yes, please do. But for anyone who loves Television Centre, anyone who imagines how zingy and witty and sharp it would be to have Dennis Potter rowing with Alan Bennett. This is the show for you. It's the show you've been waiting 40 years for and didn't realize it.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Gareth and I will be brainstorming a few new coaxial ideas over the next
year. Rent a ghost.
Yeah, rent a ghost, definitely one of them. We may revisit Teletext if we can bring ourselves to touch upon the topic of our lost coaxial.
Oh, that was tragic, wasn't it? That was so good.
It was.
No, we'll come back. We'll come back. I can still remember the numbers.
Good.
You know, my routine. 101, 501, 302, 338. Yeah, 303. Yeah. We're still there. Yeah, beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. So that's all from us. And until next time, it's goodbye.